Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. Today we'll speak with a woman who started RVing out of necessity, then fell in love with an RV expert, and together they operated several successful businesses from the road. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Many people may have heard of Evada Cooper, but few probably know her story. She grew up in Texas and started the RV lifestyle out of necessity after she was divorced and needed an inexpensive place to live while raising her teenage daughter, two dogs, and a cat. Evada explains why a fifth wheel was the ideal choice for her living situation. After they moved to Waco, Texas to be closer to her oldest daughter, the girls created a Match.com profile for their mother. 4 to 5 months later, Evada attracted the attention of a fellow who taught RV maintenance courses for a nearby state technical school. That man was Terry Cooper, the infamous Texas RV professor. Once they got married, the couple moved into a small apartment. But when the economy took a dive in 2009 and the college canceled the RV tech training program, Cooper and Evada started the Mobile RV Academy and hit the road training technicians in various cities around the country. While on the road, Evada started her own RV cooking show and published the RV Centennial Cookbook featuring easy-to-prepare recipes that RVers can make in their own kitchens. As demand for trained technicians outgrew their ability to provide classes in rented facilities, they bought an RV park in Texas and broke ground for what is now the Big Red Schoolhouse in Athens. Evada shares her experiences on the road, which fanned the flames of her passion for the RV lifestyle and to help people start mobile businesses of their own so they could enjoy the same type of travel experiences. She offers some advice on ways for people to scale down to enjoy the RV lifestyle now while they're still really young enough to enjoy it. She's got an interesting story, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it too. To tell us more, please welcome Evada Cooper, otherwise known as Lady E, to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Evada. I really appreciate the time. Tell us a little about yourself and where you're from.
All right. You know what? Thank you so much for asking me to be here. What a pleasure. I hail from Texas. So this is, I'm a Texas gal through and through. But I was born and raised about 45 minutes from Austin on the east side. My family was into manufacturing, worked for a company called Alcoa, big aluminum processing plant there. But I was went off to college, came back, and opened a restaurant there in my hometown. Got married, raised two children, and went through a life-changing event eventually, and it was called a divorce. Mm-hmm. And it made me reevaluate things, and I never would have known going through all of that, how that set me up to where I am today. Because no matter where we've come from, no matter what things we've been through, we are being conditioned for where we are in the future. And isn't that awesome?
It is great. Yes.
Yeah.
So when did you start RVing then?
So that was in 2007. When I sold the house, I was fortunate enough to have the cash in hand and went and put down on a fifth wheel. Now, I drove a PT Cruiser, and I liked it that way. So I wasn't interested in a big truck, because I was needing a place to live. I went to an area of Texas where the living conditions were extremely expensive compared to where I came from. But what I did notice that they had was lots of RV parks because there was a lot of manufacturing in that area. So I noticed families, you know, these were mom, dad, children living in an RV, and they were traveling from place to place. And I thought, they can do it, I can too. So I jumped into that fifth wheel.
Did you still have the girls?
With my 15-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I had one daughter with me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Two dogs and a cat. Okay. And I know one of the questions that you were wanting to ask me, Greg, was why I chose a fifth wheel, which is really, really important, I think. There is more livable space in a fifth wheel compared to a travel trailer or a motorhome. Okay. And I needed that. It was important for me to have living space. I wanted a very good size bedroom for myself. In fact, I wound up with a king bed, which is pretty awesome. But on the backside, on the end, was a great bedroom for my daughter. When you have a 15-year-old, they need their own space.
Yes, indeed.
And the great thing about it, it was bunk beds and even a little trundle pullout. So she could have a couple of friends over and have a restroom of her own. And it worked out great, actually. You know, but you have, even though that rig was 37 and a half feet long, it did have its restrictions, right? You had two great living areas. So your, I mean, bedroom area. So your living space was kind of small. But you know what? I knew going into it what I was going to be sacrificing, and I was totally okay with that.
That's neat. And so you had another life-changing event then after that when you bumped into the professor.
I did. You know, I wound up moving up to Waco, which was where my oldest daughter lived with her and her family. And we were there for a few months when the girl said, okay, Mom, we're going to put you on Match.com. So if, do you want an input? Because we're going to put you there. And I said, girls, I'm not ready to date. Come on, Mom, it's time. So anyway, I was on Match for about 4 or 5 months when Mr. Cooper winked at me. And here's the fun thing about it, Greg. He knew I was a full-timer, right? I was upfront with that. And I knew he was a college instructor at TSTC, which is the north side of Waco. But what I didn't know was he taught RV maintenance there. Now, had I known that, I probably would have snatched him up just a little sooner. Because let me tell you, one of the things that was, if I have to say a disadvantage of what I was doing, was jumping into a lifestyle that I knew nothing about. And it was quite challenging. And if it wasn't for the wonderful, wonderful people that lived around me who were so giving and thoughtful to help me out on all the issues that I had, you know, I don't know that I could have made it. But, you know, when we started dating, I don't know, he says, I was the first person that spoke Arvanese, and that's what kind of attracted him to me. And I said, well, I think it was more than that, but you know, there's something to say about someone taking you under their wing and teaching you all the things you need to know. And because of that, I felt confident, and you know what, it's awesome. It's totally awesome. So as far as Mr. Cooper's concerned, he was my knight in shining armor, right? He was the guy that came on the scene and just made it all better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was awesome.
And so you guys lived in Waco for a little while he was an instructor at the tech school.
Mm-hmm.
And then were you living full-time in the RV at that point too?
You know what? I had decided to go ahead and sell it because I knew it wasn't the floor plan that he and I needed together. So I wanted to do that shopping, you know, for us kind of RV. And so we did. I did. I moved into a little apartment there and waiting for him to get finished with his working at the college. Because you remember back in 2009 when the economy just went down dramatically? Well, they wound up closing the maintenance class there at the college and ask him to teach solar. So he did that for about a year and a half. And that's when we jumped out and went on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
And went out on our own. Yeah.
And that was to travel around the country, teaching people how to fix RVs and training technicians, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
We were very fortunate, you know, to, he's an awesome instructor and people just gravitate to him, and I don't blame them. He's so great. But it was a great opportunity to travel all over the country in a fifth wheel. And the experience was amazing. I love answering questions that people have, you know, what was it like living on the road all those years, you know, just going from one location to the next. It was wonderful. Living in an RV, having your space, your things with you, all the things you're comfortable with. And when you open your door, you're opening up to something new. And I love that. And there are so many wonderful things in the United States that, you know, I was never exposed to as a young person. My family did travel a little bit in a car, long hours of driving in a car, staying in hotels. We never camped as a family. So this was all just wonderful to me. I just enjoyed it so, so much.
Okay. And how long did you travel together in the RV?
We started, we left the college in April of 2011. Okay. And we bought the RV park here in Athens, Texas, in July of 2017. We still traveled for another 2 years because it was July of last year, okay, is when we jumped out of the fifth wheel and we actually moved into a park model that had less square footage than what we came out of.
So it's still an RV.
Yes, it does. It has an RVIA seal on it. It sure does. Super.
So you did some training while you were on the road and that supported your lifestyle. Did you do any other businesses and things like that while you were traveling?
Yes. Being that I had the background that I had in the food industry, back in 2010, the RV industry was celebrating the RV centennial. And I wanted to do something special. So what I did was actually made a cookbook which celebrated RVing. And it was a love project that I truly enjoyed. So doing this cookbook and selling those along the way. And those are on Amazon, by the way. And it's called the RV Centennial Cookbook, a celebration of 100 years of RVing. And a lot of great recipes in there. Now, this is an accumulation of people's recipes who have been RVing for lots of years. So it's not all about me. It's about the RV industry. Okay? So people who love doing it.
There's recipes that people could easily make in their RVs.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think Mr. Gerber has an
I do. Recipe yes. in that. Yeah. My favorite yes. sweet chili recipe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome.
So you also had a cooking show, if I recall correctly.
Yes. I just drew on the opportunities that were coming my way because of the background. There were several things, in fact, doing a cooking show, writing for magazines, articles, so specializing in the things that I love. And I was able to draw a salary on that. And what a blessing that was. And of course, being a part of the training with Mr. Cooper, I'm the woman behind the scenes that makes everything happen. I'm the one that's signing up the students and interacting with students and doing all of that.
Is that how you divided the responsibilities when you were RVing as well? You worked the behind the scenes and he was in front of the students?
Pretty much, yeah. I would never say, even though I've learned so much from him, I would never have the ability to teach like he does. And so I am quite comfortable about being the person in the back, you know, just answering questions for people and helping them through the process of becoming a student and working through that. And it's my pleasure to do that.
Handling all the bills and billing.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. Invoicing is one of my many hats. Yeah,
sure.
That sure is.
And did you maintain a domicile in Texas then, even while you were traveling around the country?
We did.
Yeah,
we did. There wasn't any reason to change. Well, this is a great state. It has a lot of great tax advantages. There are other states that have similar tax advantages. So I would ask that you know, if people were thinking about, you know, which state is good for me, Texas is awesome. You know, there is a company here in Texas. It's called The Escapees. Their home is in Texas, and they're one of the ones that, you know, people go to and use them as, you know, putting your domicile there, and which is very nice. I think they have, it's a crazy number, Greg. I think it's like 70,000, or it could be more than that. This number is probably pretty old, but people use them for their, you know, using their domicile, you know, part of their business. So that was nothing that I had to change. I wanted to leave that like it was. And for us, when you have a business and you travel around United States, the tax advantages that you get by doing that, it's good to have a home, a place, even if it's a place you rent or something like that, in order to get your fullest benefits.
Every mile you travel then is deductible.
Exactly.
Because you're away your home. But if you were did not have that home, then you couldn't deduct the mileage for business.
Mileage and all the expenses, you know, everything that it's on the road doing business. And we personally, because we are doing business and we do as much of it as we possibly can that Mr. Cooper feels comfortable with. But moving every 7 to 10 days, we don't spend a lot of time just going through the area. Although we did take some time off occasionally. For example, we stopped in Seattle and jumped on a cruise and went up to Alaska and stop at Yellowstone, see the sights, and we could Colorado and went through the Royal Gorge, you know, all the fun things all the way across the United States. We did take out time to you know, see things and enjoy things.
That's the way to do it, because I moved so quickly. I didn't have a chance to take advantage of those things. And I regret it now. I was in every state in the lower 48, plus Alaska. And
I was like, slow down and that's smell the roses.
Exactly. So that's my piece of advice for everybody.
Yes.
Slow down.
Do you know, Craig, I was going to tell you this. Back when I was single, living in that RV park back on the coast of Texas, I found this wonderful thing. It was called work camping.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew something like this existed. There were people actually living in that park and exchanging hours work to work in a booth at the front of the park. And because this park was owned by the city, all they had to do was just take a few dollars for people to come in, do day use, or come in and camp. But that's the only place the work campers were used, because the city took care of the restrooms and all the maintenance, you know, the mowing grass. And it was a beautiful park right on the water and had a beautiful boardwalk that went off on the water. It was just beautiful. But they had work camping, and I thought, you know what? I can do that on weekends. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get my site for free, you bet I could do that. But, you know, I checked into it. And at that particular time, this campground was wanting couples.
Oh.
So as a single, I didn't qualify. But I thought, what a wonderful concept. Mm-hmm. You know, that's super. But for me, it didn't work out. I didn't go start really, really knowing what work camping was about until we met the Andersons. And, of course, those guys own Work Camper News, right?
Steve and Kathy Joe, yep.
And that relationship we had with them was so awesome, and we did so much with them. As a few years went by, as we were going around the United States doing our training, we were in one spot in Shipshewana, Indiana for like 8 weeks because of training. And the owner of that park, or the manager of that park, asked me, she said, "Hey, Evada, you want a work camp?" And I go, "Sure. What do you want me to do? Come on in here and I'm going to show you how to do reservations." Now, this is a park that has many, many people moving in and out. Okay. Very, very, very attractive for people coming and wanting to spend that time there. So I got in there, and in 2 days, they felt comfortable of actually leaving me in there all by myself. And I was taking reservations, taking people sign in, you know, but they had a well-run park. They had people that you could get on the walkie-talkie, and they escorted them to their site. And but you know what? It was such a great experience for me. I loved it. So I've always been on the other side of the counter, right?
Right.
Never on this side, and see the internal workings of a campground. And I was so impressed because they were very, very successful and well ran. And I appreciate that opportunity to be a part of that because in 2017, like I said, we wound up buying an RV park here in Texas. And it wasn't as big as the one up there at Shipshe. We have 89 sites. But the primary goal of buying this place was all about finding a acreage that we could build a training facility on. And this park has a beautiful 5-acre track on the front. So once we purchased it, and of course we're residents here as well, you know, learning the office and getting, there's a lot to do. Let's just put it that way. There's a lot to do.
I'd agree with that. And you like Shipshewana, if I'm not mistaken, because of the delicious Amish food that's there.
You know what? That's number one. That is number one. I look forward to that. Mr. Cooper, too. He loves that. And but you know what? The people are awesome there. And there's something wonderful about seeing those buggies, horse and buggies, run up and down the street and seeing the Amish people and the children. Oh, my goodness. It's just so awesome. I feel like, you know, because I'm just a visitor, I just feel like it's such a wonderful, clean,
simpler lifestyle.
Simpler. It's awesome.
Less hectic.
I love it.
Yep, absolutely.
I love that.
So do you have any advice now that you've been married for a while and full-time RVing? Do you have any advice for maintaining a strong marriage when you have to live, work, and play with your spouse full-time in 400 square feet?
I get this question all the time. Okay. And I say, number one, you need to really like this person.
Yeah.
And you know what? You find out more about each other when you're living in a small space. But number one is, yes, you love them. Number two is respect. Because it's all about respecting that other one's privacy and time that they need to be alone, because we all need that, right? And also for he and I, we just love the Lord. Okay. We have a relationship with God first, and then us, we come second. And because of that, I really do feel like it's the special magic that you need between a couple, right? It is. We have just loved it. We've loved this opportunity. And I think, you know, coming off the road and being in the park model, is good. We're really happy, but I really do miss being on the road. I will never go back to traditional housing.
No.
Ever. No. And you will never see me do that, Greg, okay? It will never happen, because we get so wrapped up in the stuff of life.
Materialist.
And we and we spend our time thinking and doing and all about that, that we really don't give enough time to relationships and family and, you know, the real important things in life. So I don't miss that.
And you have
Mr. Coop.
And you, accumulate a lot of stuff in a house, and then you fill up all the closets and then move it over to the garage and then move it up to the attic, or you build a shed behind and just more and more and more stuff.
Yes.
So the RV lifestyle is much simpler in that regard.
Yes. And you know what? And that brings in a very good point of, it's very, very important that you do not overpack your rig. Weight is very, very important. And bringing in all these things, okay, add more weight to the axles and tires. And I really play it as a joke. I say all people are hoarders by heart, right? So we really have to fight that. But I do miss some of the things that I used to do. I had a 4-bedroom house that was a bed and breakfast before I bought it, and was built in the early 20s, and it was full of antiques. But, you know, I spent a lot of time dusting.
Yes.
I also spent a lot of time mowing grass and doing other yard work. A lot of time was spent on things that in this point, at this time in my life, I don't want anymore. I'm ready to spend my time with experiences.
Right.
I'm I'm ready to go and see and do and, you know, and all of that. That's really important to me.
Speaking of experiences, did you have any challenges when you were traveling?
I want to say they're insignificant, but you know as well as I do, while you're on the road, internet can be spotty. And if you have a business, you know, it can be really not good if you're not able to connect. And that happened to us several times. In fact, we had to go into areas that we didn't have. For example, we were on Verizon and they only had AT&T. Well, we had to go buy the AT&T, you know, internet.
Hotspot.
Just so we learned to have multiple, you know, even our cell phones wouldn't work in certain areas. So we had to go get a track phone, you know, a lot of things that you have to do in order to be successful on the road. But here's one thing that we always traveled where we were always looking like, is there good internet there? Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to park in a park for a week to 10 days and there be no internet available. You know, that's not going to happen in all cases around the country because people are wanting to get way away from the cities and all of that. But I think that was the biggest thing.
Fortunately, there are a number of campgrounds now that are just like you folks at the Texan RV Park, where they have fiber optic and high-speed internet access.
Yes.
So it is improving every year. It improved considerably over 5 years ago already.
I agree. I agree. And here's another thing. You know, I'm not a big TV watcher.
Nope.
Okay. Not a big deal. And as we were traveling around, most parks didn't have cable, you know, and it, you might get one or two channels, whatever. But here and a while before we stopped here at this park, we had the little Fire Stick that you can get from Amazon that you put it on the back of your TV and you're able to get movies and programming and stuff like that. So that's what we do now. I don't see CBS. I don't see NBC. I don't see any of that. And I'm okay with it.
Right.
I'm only watching things that I choose to watch, which is pretty nice.
I had almost 400 movie DVDs that I traveled with me. So that was my entertainment rather than trying to figure out whether I could get a connection to satellite local TV stations.
I think everybody has that container of DVDs.
Right.
we had one as well.
Would you do full-time RVing again someday, maybe?
I would.
In a
heartbeat.
Really?
I would.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, we have it back in our minds. You know, we don't know what the future is. But I'm always thinking, what if, right? But I want to be able to get in an RV and go when I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I did it on a full-time, I have no qualms about that whatsoever. I would love it and embrace it because, you know, I know it's not for everybody, but for Mr. Cooper and I, it's a great lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I would agree
with
that.
It really is.
Do you have any advice for people who are contemplating the RV lifestyle and work camping?
Oh, you know what? I do, because it's so important. You can jump into something and you can go through every pothole and you get hit with everything. And by the time you get 6 months down the road, you feel like you've been totally beat up and you're not sure whether this lifestyle is good for you. But you had so much against you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not being educated about the rig that you have. Okay. Not being educated about that is a big deal. Because I know that in today's world, we do have YouTube, where a lot of people are on there telling their stories and showing you how to fix this or that. We do see a lot of stuff. You know, we go on there and look around occasionally. Unfortunately, not everybody has been trained. So some of the things they say are not what they should be. It's really, really important to get some formal education.
That's important because you can either spend your time in a dealership parking lot waiting for them to get an appointment time and fix your rig, or you could spend it at the Texan RV Park, do the repair yourself, save yourself a little bit of money and a lot of time and a lot of stress.
And have confidence in yourself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big deal. When you don't have confidence in what you're doing, oh my goodness, the anxiety that you can have because I remember telling Mr. Cooper about how I felt when I was alone, you know, that single. And we don't have things then like we do now as far as training and stuff. And I told him, I said, I spent a lot of time just had my head leaned up against the side of the rig, wondering why the water heater wouldn't work. You know, what do you do? And, but that's where I also found out that the people that lived around me said, hey, I've had to deal with that before. Do this.
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go.
You know, but get comfortable with what you have, whether it's a travel trailer, fifth wheel, or motorhome. And all these rigs have the same system. So when you're learning about RVs, it's pretty much from one unit to the next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all using primarily the same air conditioning and their water heaters, furnaces, and all those different things. So, take the time to get educated and feel comfortable. Because if this is going to be your lifestyle, you're worth it.
Right.
It's worth the time and the expense to learn and invest in yourself instead of that service department, because it will happen.
I'd agree, because when I was full-time RVing, I maintained a list all the time of things that needed to be fixed. And then when I ever finally got an appointment at an RV dealership and I'd go in there, I would get like 8 or 10 things done. It was kind of expensive. It still took a bunch of time to do that. And you guys provide a basic RV maintenance class that allows people to learn how to fix 80% of the problems that they'll experience in their RV.
Yes.
It's almost essential training, really, if you're going to be in the lifestyle full time. Maybe not if you're going to be a weekend warrior. You can drop it off at a dealership and get it fixed and come back in a couple of weeks and it'll be done. But when you're living in it full time all day, every day, you need to know how to fix your own things.
Here's a quick story. I owned a pop-up. Now, this was the previous marriage, right? I owned a pop-up. We were involved in a little bit of an accident, okay? It was self-inflicted, and it's only us involved, but that thing just popped off. It was that little pop-up just popped off that ball and just went bam, 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 bam down the street, okay? Luckily, we weren't on the highway. So anyway, we took it by the dealer that we bought it from, and they looked at it and said, you're roadworthy. You're good. Go ahead and use it. When you get through, bring it on back, and we'll fix it. All right, here we go. So had a great time on our vacation. We came back, gave it to them, and we didn't hear from them for a long time. And, you know, month went by, called them. We're working on it. Another month went by. And we did this for 4 months in a row. Okay, finally, this is what I said. Okay, this is it. I'm coming to get it. No, no, don't come get it. Don't come get it. What had happened was they put it somewhere and didn't even know where they put it.
Oh, it was
actually lost. It was lost. They had to fess up that they didn't even know where it was.
Wow.
And I did get my RV back, but after I'd filed a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, you know, had to get really involved in a thing before I could get my rig back. But, you know, I don't wish that on anyone.
No.
And I know that's kind of a crazy situation.
Unusual.
It is unusual.
But still, if you're fixing your own RV, you don't have to worry about that. Unless it's a really, really big damage, like to a frame or something like that. Right.
Let's see. You got time for one more story?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is when I was single. I took my RV in to have maybe 5 little things to get worked on. The tech told me, he goes, I don't know how much it's going to cost. I said, give me a ballpark. He said, okay, we charge $105 an hour. I don't know how many parts we're going to need. He said, but it'll be on top of that. Okay, so it's going to be maybe 5-6 hours. He said, you need to be thinking probably around 700, maybe parts could make it 1,000. And I'm going, oh, I didn't have that much just to go throw on that. Anyway, he made a point of saying something right before I left. He said, Eveda, unless you know somebody that can do this work for you, he said, this is what it's going to be. And I go, you mean if I have someone I know can come and do the work, you're okay with that? He said, sure, we'll just leave it in the bay. You can come, whoever this is can come in and work on it. Well, I'd already started dating Mr. Cooper at that point.
How fortunate. We were,
right, because it was on week 3, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, week 3 of dating. And So here he comes in and he's rolling up his sleeves, and all the techs were standing there in the bays. And I was standing on the outside, and they looked at me and they said, "You didn't tell us you were bringing Terry Cooper." Just so happened every single tech in there had been taught by him.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. Yeah, it was funny. And I said, "We're okay, right?" And they said, "They're fine." Anyway, they just said, "You have whatever parts you need." Okay, so he went in there and he started working at the top of the hour. He came out at 30 minutes after the hour, all five things complete. And he also gave them a bill, or they gave him a bill for the parts that he used, which was $27. Mm-hmm. Now, let's back up. If Mr. Cooper hadn't been there, had I gone through this whole process, would I have received a bill for $700, maybe $1,000?
I'm sure you would have.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Now, I'm not saying that all dealerships are deceptive, mm-hmm. and that have practices that way, but you know what? That was an eye-opening experience to me, because I said, wow. Mm-hmm. It's important that you know how to do things, because it can save you a lot of money.
We know a lot of women are out there solo RVing now. And so it'd be especially important for them to take this kind of training as well, because even if they don't want to do it themselves, get their hands dirty, they can say, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. I really don't think I need a brand new refrigerator when, you know, I suspect it's a refrigerator coil.
Do you know what? That is so true. Mm-hmm. And I love to hear stories like that. Like, a mom took her son to go shopping for an RV. Okay. She had gone through one of our 5-day classes, and she said, "I was able to say things that the salesman didn't even know."
Wow.
And in fact, he actually said, "Have you had formal training before?" Anyway, she was quite proud of herself, and I'm super happy because, yeah, I was a single woman,
right,
you know, living the lifestyle, and it wasn't easy. Had I known everything that I know now, mm-hmm. Greg, it would have been a game changer.
I would imagine. Yeah. So if people wanted more information about the kind of training that you provide, even the basic RV maintenance class, where could they get it?
You know, our website is a great place to go. It's nrvta.com. So that's National RV Training Academy.com. You know, there's a little tab up there that says training. You just click on it and it just comes down with all the different things. A home study course is just a recording of the 5-day class, mm-hmm. that is on a flash drive, and the books, they just come to your door, or you can do it online, do your own printing. Mm-hmm. So there's those two ways. And then coming to Athens and being a part of the experience here is awesome. You know, you're able to be with other like-minded individuals. Everybody has the same goals, except some people only want to know enough to get their own rig, you know, do mm-hmm. their own work. There are some people that are thinking about starting their own tech business. There are people that are starting an inspector business, RV inspector. Mm-hmm. And then there are maybe a technician from a dealer that they've sent that individual just to, you know, beef up their knowledge. So we have all kinds of people that come here and participate, and it makes it a wonderful experience.
Right. Live really training does. Would be the best option, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But the home study, you know, you get everything right there so you can mm-hmm. study it once and go back and refer it refer to it. So if you have a problem with your air conditioner, you can go back and reread that stuff and look at those videos again and say, okay, I know how to go in here and take a peek at it and fix the problem. So that's very beneficial.
And
how much is that?
It's only $397.
$397. Okay. So mm-hmm. about the cost of an hour and a half to 2 hours of repair at an RV dealership.
Cool. You know, most people who we hear this over and over, the people that come to class and spend the 5 days here, they say by the end of the week, they have found so many things on their own rigs that they've repaired that it way more covered the expense of the class. But that same thing applies to the home study course. Once you have a complete understanding of the electrical systems mm-hmm. and propane and water, all those are big deals, because that's what the refrigeration, the air conditioning, water heater and furnace, all those things tie into. So you need to understand how all those things work. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's a great program.
It is. Great program. I highly recommend it. So thank you very much, Yveda. I really appreciate the time today. This has been interesting.
My pleasure.
Always good to talk to you. And
always.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to thank Yveda Cooper for sharing her RVing story with us. It unfolded in an unusual way, but it was clearly divine inspiration that led her to make some life-changing decisions that would eventually help thousands of other people to follow her path. Her journey started out of necessity to find an affordable place to live while raising a teenage daughter. Then Yveda met Terry Cooper, and they traveled the country together to train mobile technicians. While on the road, they met the current owners of Work Camper News, Steve and Kathy Anderson. The four of them came up with an idea to launch the RV Inspectors Association to train people to operate independent mobile businesses of their own by helping others evaluate RVs before making purchases. Training technicians and inspectors proved to be a challenge to do 1 week here and another week there. That's when a door opened for them to buy a campground in Texas large enough to develop an adjacent training center. Today, thanks to Yveda and her husband Cooper, along with the Andersons, more people than ever are able to enjoy the same RV lifestyle, visit the same places, and enjoy the same delicious regional foods that the Coopers discovered. Rather than spending money on a big house with a lot of stuff, they intentionally downsized to enjoy a simpler life with less stress but greater joy. Yveda Cooper faced several challenges in life, but rather than sulk about her situation, she stepped into the unknown, guided by her faith, and just followed doors as they opened in front of her. Even unfortunate experiences that she faced later proved to be springboards for helping people avoid those same situations and save money in the process. If you'd like to meet Yveda Cooper in person, you can do so by spending some time at the Texan RV Park. You'll find more information about it at www.texanrvpark.com. You can also sign up for training to learn how to fix or inspect RVs at the National RV Training Academy by visiting www.nrvta.com. Even if you don't want to make it a career, you can still learn to fix 80% of the problems that you're likely to encounter with an RV. Work Camper News, a magazine and online publication, connects RVers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it is running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road even faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. That's all we have for today's show. We'll see you on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.